Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You better you bet on Radio.com and the Radio.com app.
Welcome back to You Better You Bet right here on the BetQL Audio Network. Mark Melusis, Ken Barkley with you. Let's talk a little bit about Championship Sunday. Sam Monson joins us now, Pro Football Focus. Good to have Sam back with us once again. Chatted with him last week. Good evening, Sam. How you doing, bud?
Hey, guys. How's it going? I'm good.
Doing well. What do you think about the two matchups on Sunday?
And they're fun. You know, using PFF's power ratings, it's the best four teams in the NFL this year meeting on conference championship weekend. You can't ask for much better than that. Also, four of the top five graded quarterbacks in the NFL this season. It's pretty much the perfect championship matchup.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. Whether you're using PFF stuff or just, you know, even just eyeballing it from a sexy matchup standpoint, you know, the Bills, who haven't been in forever, and Mahomes, and then the two quarterbacks, and we're assuming we're going to get Patrick Mahomes. You know, normally we go chronological order, but I feel like, Sam, the Mahomes news and the question of whether he will play has dominated the news cycle this week to such a degree that let's just start with that really quickly. Where I want to start is, if he doesn't play for whatever reason, let's get this out of the way and then we can have the fun game analysis where he plays. If he does not play for whatever reason, and you would be a very good person to ask this question to, player value, right? Whether it's to a point spread or the power ratings that you guys keep or looking at various analytics, you know, expected points for all these things. The drop off from Patrick Mahomes to Chad Henne, give us an idea of like the level of steepness off a cliff that drop represents.
It's pretty huge. You know, we have a number on our PFF green line that's effectively the number of spread points above replacement that a quarterback is for each one of these teams. Patrick Mahomes is 9.5, 10 points, depending on the week. And that's as much as it is in the NFL, the highest figure you're going to see. You can debate how much better than the replacement level player Chad Henne is, but honestly, usually it's not going to be far. I mean, he's not a great backup, let alone a great starting option. So the drop off from Patrick Mahomes worth 9.5, 10 points above replacement to Chad Henne, who, let's be generous and say he's worth 1 or 2 points above replacement, you know, you're talking about a 7-8 point swing in the spread immediately just from that.
Right. What about and fair? What would you look at it? So you're looking at the spread angle from it. What about the odds and the chances of the Chiefs winning if Mahomes does not play Sunday against the Bills?
Yeah, I mean, using that logic, it's a 3-point game right now. Swings all the way to Buffalo with a reasonable degree of certainty. You know, the Bills become 4 or 5 point favorites, I think, if Mahomes isn't playing. And I don't think it's wrong. You know, that offense in Kansas City can still function. It can still be pretty good. But even, you know, we saw in relief against the Browns, Chad Henne comes in, throws, you know, a mind-blowingly terrible interception, and then just about rescues the game late on with the run and then the key 4th-and-1 play. But if he has to play the entire game against a smart Buffalo Bills defense and a secondary that does put a lot of people in coverage, Chad Henne's probably going to be worth 1 or 2 bad decisions and turnovers in the game. And if Josh Allen and that Buffalo offense rolls or has anything like their best game, Kansas City won't be able to hang with that.
Sam, I look forward to us finally receiving the word that Mahomes has gone through the concussion protocol and can play, so that we don't have to keep prefacing every conversation with like, look, I mean, if we, like, put it this way, if we got to Sunday and we never had the conversation and then he was announced as playing, like, that would have been a bad thing. So we need to keep having the conversation until we know for sure that Mahomes is going to play in the game. Okay, Mahomes is playing in the game. And the assume as a result of that, the Chiefs become 3.5 point favorites in the game. Total maybe goes up. We're talking about something in the mid-50s. With a Mahomes on the field version of the Chiefs, give us an idea of how that game might play out.
I kind of like the under in this game. I know we've got two of the best offenses in the NFL with two of the best quarterbacks in the NFL this season, but I think these defenses, they're not great. They're not amazing units, but they're both pretty good at game planning for specific composition and doing things creatively on a specific game basis to slow you down. We saw what Buffalo tried to do to Kansas City the first time they met. They basically just invited them to run all day long. The Chiefs happily accepted it, ran the ball 39 times in that first game. But the point is, while they were doing that, they weren't airing it out with Tyreek Hill and with Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and doing where they were playing where they do their biggest damage, their most damage. So I think it's actually a smart way of playing. And I think both defenses are capable of doing that. The other factor in this is that let's assume that Patrick Mahomes does come out of the concussion protocol and gets cleared for the head slash neck slash stinger injury that he had. He also got injured before that. He hurt his toe, and that's kind of being swept under the rug or ignored because there's a very real concern that he might not play at all with the head injury. But if he plays and he's not 100% and he's a little bit, you know, immobile because of the hurt toe, the turf toe, that could hamper him. And we've seen Mahomes play last season when he wasn't 100%, either with the ankle or with a rib injury later on. And he wasn't quite the same guy. He's obviously still dangerous and capable of making big plays, but suddenly is human again, is not immortal and completely unplayable. And the Bills defense might be able to cause him some issues if that's the case.
We're talking to Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus. Sam, how much do you look at, or how much should people look at the, you referenced the matchup during the regular season, but how much does that, should people look at that matchup when they're looking at this game Sunday?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. It's certainly an interesting game to reference, but it is a weird game because there was weather. Bills did have that very extreme game plan of inviting Kansas City to run. And we don't know if Mahomes being hurt will impact the game plan this week. So I do think that the style of defense Buffalo played, where they didn't have a single 8-man box all game long. About half of Kansas City's rush attempts came against 6-man boxes. So ridiculously light box, essentially inviting or daring Kansas City to run the ball. I do think that's a game plan they might try and replicate, because I think fundamentally it worked and it did slow Kansas City down. Buffalo's problem is that their offense didn't fire the way it normally does. And so it didn't matter. They still weren't able to overcome what Kansas City did. But I think it's the right way of, or it's one of the right ways of attacking this Kansas City offense and basically asking them or daring them to do the thing that's least efficient from their point of view. So I think there's a good shot Buffalo executes a similar kind of game plan. The question will be if Mahomes comes out and looks less than 100%, do they have an adjustment on the fly and try and get more aggressive and maybe blitz him, as opposed to sitting back and just letting them run the ball?
Yeah, I think that what you bring up too, Sam, like if we look for one or two series, three series, and Mahomes looks terrible or looks, you know, immobile or whatever, like the live betting opportunities in this game compared to what the spread is going to be pregame and stuff. I mean, all that stuff, the total, which you mentioned, like the strategy change for both teams as a result. I think that stuff's really fascinating too. But let me ask you about, we had a couple guests on this week that have tried to predict, okay, like we think Buffalo is going to throw more than they did in that first matchup and throw with more success. Some of that, maybe Kansas City cornerback injuries, Breland, is he going to play in the game? Some of it, just Buffalo is very good at throwing the ball, and that's what they do like 90% of the time. Now, if you had to try to predict where the matchups where Buffalo has an advantage the most, right? Like where, you know, is Diggs going to get an insane share of the targets versus what he normally gets, or any of the other guys more viable candidates, you know, where could the Buffalo offense have the most success?
I could see Cole Beasley having a pretty good day. I think they'll match him up with L'Jarius Sneed a lot. And Sneed has been impressive for a rookie, but he is a rookie and he's an inexperienced, bigger bodied, long type of cornerback. And those guys just struggle dealing with receivers as quick and quickly in and out of their cuts as Cole Beasley is. So the Chiefs defense is pretty good at taking away the deep ball, and that, you know, makes John Brown and Gabriel Davis probably smaller parts of the offense. Stephon Diggs can win at any level of the defense, so he should still be fine. But I can see them loading Cole Beasley up with a lot of targets on those underneath things and, you know, getting him the ball a lot and moving the chains that way.
Sam, one more on this one for me, and that would be the running back situation for Kansas City. You mentioned about the question marks about Patrick Mahomes not just outside of the concussion, but also dealing with the toe injury. What about the running backs right now for Kansas City? Bell dealing with the knee. We know you haven't had Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He's dealing with the hip injury, that in the ankle injury they suffered late in the season. And Williams has been getting a lot of burn. What about the Kansas City running back scenario going into the title game against Buffalo?
They're definitely banged up, and they're not 100% healthy. But ultimately, I think this Kansas City offense is really good at putting running backs in a good situation to succeed. You know, that's why the game planning against or from Buffalo worked the first time, because Kansas City will run all day if you give them a light box. It's kind of like the Mike Leach approach offense in college, the air raid, where he doesn't want to run the ball, but if you back everybody off the line of scrimmage and you give him a box count that's favorable, and it just ensures he has a man up in the blocking scheme, he knows that it's efficient. He's going to get enough yardage on the ground to make it worth his while to take what you're giving him and run the ball. And I think the Chiefs are the same, that if you back off and if you give them the run game, they're happy to take it, but it's not what they would do primarily. It's not what they would do in a neutral against a neutral defensive formation. So, you know, Kansas City's running backs are not in great shape health-wise, but if the Buffalo Bills back everybody off and give them light boxes, they're going to have guys that can exploit that, because, you know, NFL running backs are all capable of taking advantage of that kind of situation.
Sam, let's go to the NFC game now that we've addressed Chad Henne in great detail, and we don't have to have a backup conversation in this game, thankfully, with Brady and Rodgers fully expected to play, and should be a great matchup. There are just a ton of angles I think we can unpack, and injury stuff, the first meeting between the teams and everything. But I would just start with, look, I mean, Green Bay, 3.5-point favorite, total 51.5. What seems to you to be the most interesting thing about this NFC Championship game?
Well, it's another one where obviously we saw it earlier in the season, and that was a weird game for Green Bay in particular. Obviously, they got beaten badly. Aaron Rodgers didn't look himself at all. They got out to a 10-0 start, and the Bucs put up 38 straight points. But it was a bunch of things that don't normally happen to Aaron Rodgers. He had a pick six. He put the ball in harm's way a lot more than he usually does. He blitzed Aaron Rodgers a lot, and he didn't have answers for it. Again, something that doesn't usually happen, even including that game this season. Aaron Rodgers has a top 10 PFF grade against the blitz. You take that game out, and I think he's the best graded quarterback in the NFL against the blitz. So I don't know why it all fell to pieces last time. He certainly seemed to get caught up in an argument with Ndamukong Suh, spend his time kind of going with him as opposed to, you know, concentrating on the defense in front of him. But I don't imagine the same scenario happening again. So as much as the first matchup showed the Bucs a lot of things that worked against Green Bay, I don't think they will if they try them again. So you're now left with this interesting, you know, chess battle of what game plan does Tampa Bay bring to the table. And if it's the same, have Green Bay developed answers to it? And if it's different, you know, what does Green Bay do then?
Sam, what about Ken and I were talking about a little bit earlier on with the defensive tackle for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Vita Vea, you know, where he returned this week. He's back at practice, been on IR. They have that 21-day window, cracks open for maybe him playing some on Sunday. If he does play Sunday, what do you think that would look like for Tampa?
I think he would be on a pretty strict pitch count if they play him. I mean, this is a big man, you know, 350-pound guy who was coming off a broken bone and presumably hasn't been doing a ton of working out during a lot of that time, you know, just in terms of being restricted to what he can do. So there's no way he's in full football shape. So you're going to have to give him some kind of limited workload and just hope you can get, you know, 20 destructive snaps out of him. And that's going to be your lot, I would imagine. He was playing at a genuine all-pro level at the point where he got hurt. So, you know, 20 snaps of Vita Vea, if that's all he can give you, has the potential to move the needle, but I wouldn't expect much more than that.
Sam, the other kind of, well, maybe you don't think it's significant, but the other kind of name injury in the game right now is Antonio Brown, and whether we think he's going to play on Sunday. If Brown plays or doesn't play, I mean, do you think that has any kind of tangible impact realistically on the Tampa offense? And if so, what would it be?
I think it does. It might not, but I think the thing about that Bucks offense. They have so many weapons, and you never quite know what kind of game it's going to be. You know, it's a nightmare for fantasy purposes, but it's great for them because it's very difficult for a defense to shut down. You don't know if it's going to be Mike Evans going off, if it's going to be Gronk, Antonio Brown, Chris Godwin, assuming he stops dropping the ball. Cameron Brate has been the guy getting the big numbers over the past couple of weeks. So, you know, on one hand, they have a lot of weapons and a lot of places to go with the football, so they can certainly absorb the loss of Antonio Brown. But on the other hand, it takes away a potential option and a potential way for the game to unfold where Antonio Brown is the guy that gets, you know, a lot of the workload. So I think it has the potential to be a significant loss.
I'm curious, when you look at the defensive game plan for Todd Bowles and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, how do you slow down? We know they had success in the regular season, but you mentioned, Sam, it looked like Aaron Rodgers, you know, they jumped out, then fell behind, then got destroyed in the game and got outplayed, and he was jawing with Sue the entire game. But now this is a different Packer offense. How does Bowles and that defense handle what Green Bay wants to do, not only on the ground, but how balanced they are and through the air?
They're in a tough spot because I think the things that they are best at doing, you know, getting physical, playing man coverage, getting aggressive in coverage, those are risky when you're going up against a guy like Davante Adams, who may be the best route runner in the NFL, has an incredible release off the line. And if you miss the jam once, if you screw up in the first couple of steps off the line, he's gone. I mean, he's 5 yards open. Rodgers is hitting him and it's a 75-yard touchdown before you've even blinked. So they're in a tough spot because I think they play at their best when they're aggressive, when they send the blitz, when they let the coverage guys in the back end be physical and be aggressive and try and cover up for the pressure packages they're sending. But that is a huge risk against a Green Bay team that can exploit that and can take advantage of those plays on any given moment.
Sam, my last question, then I'll let Moose take it home. What one betting angle that I have brought up for this game that I just think is very interesting is that with the Packers, you have a team that consistently, I mean, week after week, extremely valuable in the first halves of games, right? First three, four possessions, high touchdown rates, score on almost every possession. Tampa, almost the exact opposite in games where they've been tested this season, get behind a lot and games have to come back. You know, I don't care necessarily so much if we think it's a valuable betting opinion, but like, I think more importantly, like, why do you think that happens? Like, why do you think the Packers are so good early and the Bucks are so terrible?
Yeah, for me, the interesting question in the Green Bay side of that is not why they get off to such a good start every week. It's why they go off the boil, because when you watch them, sometimes it looks too easy and you wonder why they don't, you know, keep going and keep just piling points on people. They always seem to hit this period of games where they just cool off. They run out of gas and then eventually they maybe rekindle the fire late on and pull away. But last week was really the first game where they didn't have that. And they actually kept on trucking throughout the entire game. But you know, the reason they get off to such a good start, I think, is because they are an incredibly talented offense with a quarterback playing as well as anybody in the NFL. I think it makes sense that they're they find it very easy to score at times because they have so many weapons, a good offensive line, and you know, the best quarterback in the NFL this season. And you know, the Bucs defense, I think a lot of the times they've come out and they haven't been aggressive enough and they haven't allowed teams to put up some points on them. And you know, their offense has taken a little while to get going. That part I think is trickier to answer. I don't have a good theory as to why Tampa Bay have been slow starters on offense, but it certainly has the potential to put them in a big hole early in this game, like it did the first time the two teams met.
Sam, how about I asked the question about the Buccaneers defense against the Packers offense. Let's go the opposite way. What about Green Bay and where they are defensively right now? You look at everyone looks at Tom Brady's throwing the ball really well. You know, he had the two touchdown passes against the Saints, but it was more of a defensive turnaround that fumble caused and recovered after the Jared Cook fumble. What can the Packers defensively do to slow down what Bruce Arians, Brady, Leftwich want to do offensively?
Green Bay is playing well on defense right now. The pass rush has taken a tick in the right direction. Rashawn Gary, the former first-round pick, is playing extremely well up front. Za'Darius Smith is getting back towards his best play. Kenny Clark is really good. They can rush the passer and cause some problems. And the Buccaneers are going to be playing a backup right guard. And when they've had to do that, previously this season has been a significant problem. Not the right guard, but they lost Ali Marpet on the left side earlier this season, and it really torpedoed that offensive line. So those guys trying to hold up against Green Bay's defensive front could cause some serious problems. And then the Packers' back end, the cover has been really good. Their safety duo of Darnell Savage, Adrian Amos, those guys have been playing really well. Jair Alexander, arguably the best cornerback in the league this year. They do have weak links in the back, but they have guys that have held up really well and can force turnovers. So the Bucs, I think, are going to have their backs against the wall to execute extremely efficiently and well over the course of the entire game. It's not going to be an easy ask.
All right, Sam, we'll close it out here. And we're being joined by Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus. Let's get, who do you think ends up winning on Sunday? If we go on the idea, take Henny out of it, Mahomes is playing for the Kansas City Chiefs, right? So Mahomes is playing for Kansas City, dealing with that toe injury. Who do you think wins, Bills, Chiefs? Who do you think wins, Packers, Bucks?
I've been kind of talking myself into the Bills over the course of the last couple of days. Even with Mahomes, I think that toe injury is going to at least modify what Mahomes can do. And then I think Buffalo's defense is going to give them a real shot to win if Josh Allen plays well. The other game, the more I think about it, the more I think Green Bay is the team that's going to come away with that. I think they're just too good right now compared with what Tampa Bay has to offer. And I think that back up offensive line could end up causing some real problems. So Green Bay and Buffalo.
You're on record, Sam. We're writing it down, marking it down, all right?
Gotcha.
You got it. Sam Monson, he's great. Pro Football Focus, check him out. And joins You Better, You Bet, and hops on all the time. Sam, we appreciate it. Have a good night. Good luck on Sunday, and enjoy the games.
Thanks, guys. You too. Take it easy.
You got it. So there, you know, and I could understand that. I mean, the Chiefs have not looked like Kansas City a year ago, Ken. They clearly have not, and you and I have talked about Green Bay. You talked about your power rankings, looking at the Green Bay Packers, just how good and efficient they've been offensively. Defensively, they've turned it around. Last year, they learned a lesson. Their head coach, Matt LaFleur, said, you know, we got pushed around. That's not going to happen to a Packer team again. You know, they've been a lot more physical at the point of attack this year. A lot of people looked at the Packers last year and saying, ah, you know what, they won, 13-3 in the regular season. They're really not a 13-3 team. Right. And then they got exposed in the NFC Championship game. It's a complete difference. I mean, listen, the Bucks are the Bucks, and Tom Brady, and never discount Tom Brady in the game, but Green Bay's home and they're favored in the game for a reason, because they've been that good this year.
Yeah, and I brought up my ratings. I mean, you mentioned kind of the comparison between Green Bay last season and this season, and I mean, I have Green Bay like a staggering amount better than, I mean, last year's Green Bay, I could actually probably run this really quick. Last year's Green Bay, well, there'd be no home field advantage if last year's Green Bay was playing this year's Green Bay. Well, maybe the fans last year would have an advantage, right? I'd say something like, oh man. Yeah, this year's Green Bay -4, which is a big number for a team year to year. That's, I mean, in my numbers at least, that's how much better they are than they were.
This year's team is 4 points better than last year's team.
Yes. Oh yeah. I think you can actually make the argument it's higher than that, to be honest. I think I'm almost downgrading this year's team a little bit too much. And that came out last week against the Rams. Like, how much of that number was the Rams injuries, but how much was also Green Bay cool with a week off, but also, I mean, playing at such a high level and worthy of being rated really highly. And I'm just, you know, I'm kind of going over, you know, what's kind of like the right number, you know, in this game, if we assume that. I think Sam could be right. You know, I think it's just, you know, it's so funny, and traditionally with Super Bowl champions, and with really conference champions too, but Super Bowl champions, like, there's usually an identifiable elite unit that was like the best, and that's what propelled the team to the championship. And, you know, that it was a unit that so outperformed everyone else in the same category it's usually not balance. It's usually like a memorable side of the ball, honestly. And I think the Packers offense, more than any unit that's playing on either side in either of the games, Buffalo offense probably a distant second right now. Chiefs offense has just been so, I mean, with Mahomes' injury status and stuff, I don't think we think about them the same way this year necessarily, and they've never been healthy, and the offensive line has been in shambles a little bit. Like, I think the Packers offense is kind of like the defining unit of the season, really, if it's not Buffalo's offense. And honestly, like, you know, this isn't a numbers conversation, it's a narrative conversation, but like, that unit usually wins. Like the, whoever that unit is usually wins the title. And you would think, well, it can't possibly be as cut and dry in that. But I mean, just historically, like that's kind of what the season tells us, honestly, is that like that elite unit usually ends up defining, you know, who ends up winning the championship.
You're right. You're right. And that unit looks to be the Green Bay Packers. And we'll see if Todd Bowles and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers can slow that offense down on Sunday out in Lambeau. Monson was great from Pro Football Focus. Check him out at PFF_Sam. We'll come back. We got overnights for you. Overnights. Yeah. Open up the bottle of wine. Light the candles. Ken Barkley.
I'll just yell about trends for like another 25 minutes.
If Michigan State is home, I don't care who the hell they're playing, I'm betting them.
I believe the exact quote was, fuck the number. I believe it was the exact quote. So that's not many more days left I'm going to be able to say that on the air. But for now, I can still say it.
You better, you bet. It's sponsored by Bet Rivers. Deposit $250. You'll receive a $250 match. You can't find better odds at any other sportsbook. It's a no-brainer. You're listening. You better, you bet.